that their citizens on board the flotilla are under political and diplomatic protection. He added that if the flotilla encounters difficulties, those on board could be rescued by the Spanish naval vessel. Spain's move came after Italy announced it was sending a navy vessel to provide full assistance to the flotilla. Italy's decision represented the first direct intervention by European governments to protect humanitarian ships attempting to break Israel's blockade of Gaza. It followed overnight drone attacks on the aid-carrying vessels off the coast of Greece. The Global Samut Flotilla is using about 50 civilian boats with citizens from 45 countries on board. An Italian lawmaker has raised a question in Parliament asking the Italian government for explanations over media allegations that hundreds of Italians have joined Israeli forces in the ongoing genocide in Gaza. This as a lower house session was suspended on Wednesday following an Israeli attack on the Gaza-bound Global Samud Flotilla in international waters. Max Civili has details from Rome.
Italy's opposition five-star movement lawmaker Stefania Ascari has submitted a parliamentary question to Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani and Interior Minister Matteo Piantedosi, requesting explanations over some media reports alleging that about 1,000 Italian citizens, including those with dual Israeli passports, have joined Israel's occupation forces after October 7, 2023, and have participated in the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip. Lawmaker Ascari said on Wednesday that the Italian government has a duty to ensure respect for international humanitarian law and the principles enshrined in the UN Genocide Convention.
The allegations are extremely serious. There could even be more than 1,000 Italian citizens involved. We demand to know the extent of Italy's complicity with terrorist Israel and its genocide in Gaza. We demand answers.
This is how Israel cares about Italian soldiers. About a year ago, Israeli forces started targeting UNIFIL positions in southern Lebanon with three attacks on Italian bases. Italy's defense minister Guido Crosetto called the attack a war crime and summoned the Israeli ambassador to Rome to lodge a formal complaint. Two Italian soldiers were injured in that attack.
Terrorist Israel is in constant breach of international norms. The Israelis think that they are above the law. They are wrong. They have bombarded embassies, sovereign countries. They have attacked Iran, Qatar in the middle of the negotiations. And now several vessels were targeted by Israeli drones off the coast of Greece.
On Wednesday, a session of the Italian lower house was suspended after a group of opposition lawmakers, including Stefania Ascari, occupied the government benches demanding that a member of the executive report on the attack on the Global Samud Flotilla in international waters overnight. The Global Samud Flotilla, comprising around 50 civilian boats attempting to break Israel's naval blockade of Gaza and deliver humanitarian aid, came under attack in the early hours of Wednesday when, according to organizers, drones dropped explosive devices near several boats, causing no injuries.
Loro pietiscono.
Our ministers beg Israel when they should demand security measures for the Italian citizens on board the flotilla. Israel's assault on the flotilla happened in international waters, and it's an act of piracy. It's a crime. In a motion presented some time ago, we said Netanyahu must be stopped, sanctions must be imposed on Israel, and all accords with Tel Aviv must be suspended.
In the aftermath of the attack on the flotilla, the Italian government deployed a multi-purpose frigate to head towards the flotilla for possible rescue operations, focusing primarily on Italian citizens. Max Civili, Rome.
The Spanish government has taken a decisive step against Israel, approving a complete arms embargo and further restrictions on trade linked to illegal settlements. The move comes after weeks of international pressure and is being presented as part of Spain's commitment to peace and international law.
Spain has approved urgent measures against the ongoing genocide in Gaza, standing firmly for human rights and international law. Economy Minister Carlos Cuerpo highlighted the human toll. Over 65,000 killed, 165,000 wounded, and 2 million displaced. Thousands of children face malnutrition. Madrid pledges to lead international pressure on Israel, demanding accountability and pushing for a just and lasting peace.
Spain's new decree, awaiting approval by the Congress of Deputies, enforces a total arms embargo on Israel, prohibiting all defense exports and imports, as well as dual-use products and technology. It also denies transit of aircraft fuels with potential military use and bans imports from illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories. Advertising of such goods and services is also forbidden, and existing or pending authorizations are revoked.
The minister called on Spain to continue leading international efforts to confront the crisis in Gaza and to ramp up pressure on the Israeli regime. As announced by the Prime Minister and highlighted at this week's UN General Assembly in New York, Madrid aims to hold Israel accountable for its ongoing attacks on Palestinian civilians.
No es el final del camino.
I want to make two proposals. First, the state of Palestine must become a full member of the United Nations, and its integration should be completed as soon as possible. Second, we must take immediate action to halt the brutality and make peace possible. Spain will implement a plan to stop the genocide in Gaza, and will continue taking courageous measures with any who wish to join. History will judge us, and its verdict will be harsh on those who committed this atrocity, and those who remained silent.
The Spanish government has become one of Europe's most outspoken critics of the Israeli regime, leading initiatives that openly reject and condemn its genocidal policies in Gaza, as well as the ongoing expansion of Israeli settlements in the West Bank.
Thanks to popular pressure, Spain has approved a total arms embargo on Israel. We will not allow companies or military supplies that fuel the Palestinian genocide to enter our ports or airports. We will remain firm and strengthen the law to close any loopholes.
Spain is now the first EU country to impose a full arms embargo on Israel, a move officials call both symbolic and practical. It highlights Madrid's push for human rights and peace, while raising the question of whether other European nations will follow its lead. Alberto García, Málaga.
Mahdi Esfandiari, an Iranian academic, has now been detained in France for 7 months amid growing calls for her release. As diplomatic efforts continue for her release, activists and Esfandiari's family highlight the broader issues of free speech and political motivations behind her continued imprisonment.
Today marks the 210th day since the illegal detention of Iranian academic Mahdi Esfandiari in France. She was living in Lyon when she was arrested by French security officers after a surprise raid at her home on February 28th. Her family described it as a case of kidnapping or hostage-taking, saying the officers arrived unannounced, bundled her into a van, and held her without charge. French authorities refused for an entire month to provide detailed information to the Iranian Foreign Ministry, which intervened at the family's request. For more than 50 days, she was denied any phone access, kept in solitary confinement, and prevented from contacting her family or friends. This continued until mid-April. According to Mahdia's communication with her family, her interrogation inside French police custody quickly turned into a systematic psychological torment. They also stripped her of her hijab. The young woman is accused of advocating terrorism for having participated in a Telegram channel denouncing the ongoing genocide in Gaza. To justify her continued detention, some investigators claimed that she was acting under Iran's influence and that this was a case of interference, accusations her lawyer has denounced as unfounded and purely political. Iranian authorities have repeatedly called for her release, describing her detention as unjust and politically motivated. Since her imprisonment, two requests for conditional release have been rejected, first by the Paris court in June and then by the Court of Appeal in July. Activists, neighbors, and supporters of Esfandiari are denouncing what they see as a serious violation of freedom of speech. They say her case lays bare the blatant violation of human rights and the complete absence of genuine freedom of expression in the West, including in France. Esfandiari's imprisonment is now gaining increased attention as calls grow for her immediate release.
Iranian Foreign Minister Seyed Abbas-Araghchi has met with his French counterpart Jean-Noël Barrot on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York as part of ongoing diplomatic consultations. The talks revolved around initiatives to prevent the reimposition of previously lifted UN Security Council resolutions. Earlier on Wednesday, Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian also held a meeting with French President Emmanuel Macron. They discussed bilateral relations and expressed optimism that addressing current challenges could pave the way for more cooperation in the near future. On the nuclear issue, President Pezeshkian reiterated that Iran is not pursuing nuclear weapons. He underscored Tehran's readiness to engage with European partners within a mutually acceptable framework to promote dialogue on its peaceful nuclear program. At the UN General Assembly, Iran's President Masoud Pezeshkian made his speech with a sharp condemnation of Israel.
Our world in this way, let's take a look at the world in the past 2 years. We've been witness to a genocide in Gaza. We've been witnessing the destruction of homes and repeated violations of sovereignty and territorial integrity in Lebanon. We have seen destruction of infrastructure in Syria, attack against the Yemeni people. We've been witness to starvation of little kids, and also aggression against the sovereignty of other nations and aiming the leaders of countries. And all this has been actually by the support of the most armed regime in the world, and that's under the excuse of self-defense. Do you prefer this for your own self? Who is destabilizing the region and the world? And who is a threat against global peace and security? Who is violating the golden rule of human morals, Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen? All of you have been witness that a few months ago, my country came under violation in contravention of international law. Airstrikes of the Zionist regime and also those of the United States against cities, homes, and infrastructure in Iran.
President Pezeshkian saved his strongest criticism for Israel and its allies, saying they try to impose their will. He called Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu a criminal and labeled U.S.-Israeli war on Iran as a grave betrayal of diplomacy. Pezeshkian also warned that the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza would affect all countries if it continues. On the issue of Iran's nuclear program, Pezeshkian stated that the country does not seek a nuclear bomb, citing a religious fatwa as proof. The Iranian president also met with his French counterpart on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. Pezeshkian and Macron discussed Iran-IAEA ties and the activation of the 2015 nuclear deal's snapback mechanism. The White House has instructed federal agencies to prepare for extensive job losses in the event of a government shutdown, as the Trump administration is seeking to shrink the size of the federal workforce. The budget office directed agencies to identify programs lacking discretionary funding if Congress fails to enact a budget by the September 30th deadline. The guidance mandate said agencies submit their proposed reduction in force plans. A senior Democratic official condemned the instruction, characterizing it as an intimidation tactic. Democrats and Republicans are locked in a standoff as government funding is on the brink of expiring. Since assuming office in January, President Trump has initiated efforts to reduce the federal workforce. Denmark has closed a major airport in the north amid heightened security concerns following drone incidents. Eyewitnesses reported observing green blinking lights hovering over the Aalborg Airport late Wednesday. The closure has impacted military operations as Aalborg serves as a base for Denmark's armed forces. The airport closure occurred just 2 days after a similar incident in Copenhagen, triggered by sightings of drones in its airspace. Denmark has labeled the recent drone disruptions as the most serious attack on its critical infrastructure. The situation reflects security concerns in the region, with Estonia, Poland, and Romania accusing Russia of violating their airspace with drones and fighter jets. Russia has denied these claims. Moscow says its aircraft remained in neutral airspace and complied with international aviation rules. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Stay tuned, though. Bye.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
The audience of IRB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Ja'far Ja'far.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I pray all of you are well. We have been discussing the subject of nifaq or hypocrisy. It's important to understand this behavior, because when we look at it, we think that these people are like honest to God conniving people, yeah? Honest to God like evil people, honest to God just like bad people, right? But we have to understand nifaq from an akhlaqi position, right? From an akhlaqi position, like in the study of akhlaq, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just want good characteristics, right? Allah Azza wa Jal wants characteristics that are naturally occurring from us. Good characteristics that are naturally occurring, right? And so, it's known in akhlaqi literature as a malaka. A malaka is a characteristic that is part of your natural disposition, right? Your natural demeanor. It's something that you don't really have to think hard about. It just comes naturally, right? Like, I don't have to force generosity. I'm just a generous person, right? I don't have to force servitude. Servitude just comes very naturally, right? Like, I love to serve God, His creation, whatever it is. That level of goodness. Now, obviously, in the beginning, we have to force characteristics. We have to force akhlaq. But the aim always is that we should develop these characteristics to the point where they come naturally from me, right? Such people are real, like, beacons of light. When some people just have naturally good disposition, we are gravitated towards such people. We are attracted towards such people. Now, the way a characteristic develops into a malaka is through repetition, yeah? Through constant repetition. So even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to force it because I know that's what God wants, right? Like, how do you think people pray Salatul Layl, right? It's not because in the beginning they have a passion to pray Salatul Layl. Sure, like, I have a desire, I may wake up once, but that desire is not going to be there when I'm tired, right? But you force it until it just becomes natural for you, right? At that point, we have a responsibility then to ensure that that act does not just lose heart in the process, right? And that's like the whole, like, it's like a catch-22 when it comes to iman, yeah? You repeat till it becomes natural. But then human tendency will be that once it becomes natural, I don't have the passion for it anymore, right? Because it's just habitual. And so now I have to bring back the heart at that point. So it's a journey. Life is a journey, right? But until I repeat, it becomes a malaka. Now, this is true not only for positive qualities, but it's also true for negative qualities, right? If I repeat a bad quality over and over and over and over again, that's who I'm going to be naturally, right? People who are just mad all the time. Yeah, people who just get angry all the time. People who just are upset all the time. How? Because that's the habit that they repeated over and over and over again until that characteristic is just now naturally coming out from them. And so if we understand that, these hypocrites, they act this way almost unknowingly. Yeah? It's not that they are purposely vile. It's not that they purposely try to be a hypocrite. It's because they were double-faced for long enough, Now they are double-faced even when they don't need to be double-faced. Yeah? You understand? This is something that is why it's called a sickness, right? It's something where they will lie even when there is absolutely no need to lie, right? They will harm even when there's absolutely no need to harm. Like, why? What was the point of a lie there, right? Because it's just something that I habitually do, right? Like, it's just something that naturally comes. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, he's reported to have said, al munafiq, a munafiq is man idha wa'ada akhlafa, wa idha fa'ala afsha, wa idha qala kathaba, wa idha tumina khana, wa idha ruzika tasha, wa idha muni'a asha. That the munafiq is one, when they make a promise, they don't fulfill it. When they do something good, they show off. When they speak, they lie. When they are entrusted with something, they betray it. When they are given sustenance, they are heedless. When they are deprived, they resort to tricks. It's not like they're actively doing these things. It's just their nature. Yeah, it's just their nature. And this is why we have to understand this from an akhlaqi perspective, that I don't think in many instances, the hypocrite is just, he's not out to get us. Poor guy, poor girl, just can't help it. That's who they are, right? Now, do they have to develop something? Yes, they have to work on themselves. And that's why I said, like, we just have to look inward. Because when it becomes a malaka, like, I may not even recognize it, right? Like, it's just natural for me. Like, I don't even think it's wrong here. And so we have to be very much reflective. You know, the idea of reflection, like, it's something that I try to teach my madrasa kids who are like 14 or 15 right now. Like, if we learn how to be reflective people from a young age, it really helps us later in life. The problem is we don't reflect enough. And because we don't reflect enough, we are just reactionary. And if we're reactionary, we're not realizing whether my actions are stemming from a good place or a bad place. But if we're people who reflect, like connect the dots. Like, why did I do that? Right? Like, why did I say that? Like, where did that come from? Why was I angry? There was no need to be angry. It was something so small, right? Like, why did I create such a big deal? If we can trace it back, man, that's an amazing characteristic. An amazing characteristic. Because when we become reflective, I really think God begins to unveil things for us. Really does. Like a jigsaw puzzle, you know? We can see the pieces coming together. And that's how God guides us. But we just have to be people who reflect like that. And once we do, it's amazing. So, you know, when you look at the act of hypocrisy in general, it's an act that distances us away from God and His Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Like, they want nothing to do with hypocrites. And this is something that, again, should frighten us. Because, like, we claim to love them. But we want to make sure that we are actually approaching them the way that they want. And a desire has to be honest to be with them.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Kareem عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
For millennia, Iranian scholars have actively contributed to advancing knowledge in science and technology. And today, Iran is part of the fast pace at which technological innovation is developing using knowledge-based research. Energy-efficient light bulbs or COVID-19 testing kits are just some of the knowledge-based products that you might be familiar with. Iranian knowledge-based companies have brought many social and economic advantages for people and generating billions of dollars in revenues from its product.
Oh, hello. Welcome to another edition of Bazaar, the weekly show that looks at profits, markets, industries, and all sorts of things that connect us nationally and internationally. Today's program will focus on how advanced technologies are created. We wanted to see how an idea can be transformed into a marketable, specialized product, and how we'll uncover how they have contributed to the economy. Enough said. Let's walk through today's Bazaar.
Our journey began at a company that works closely with the Islamic Azad University of Iran. Virajin Akam was first established in 2008 and specializes in making technology for analyzing genes and viruses. Its main products are panel H kits and devices used in medical laboratories. Currently, it has commercialized two of its products for virus detection tests. As part of its vision for the future, this knowledge-based company is looking to expand its product list to include molecular analysis kits for cancer cells. The production unit incorporates the latest technology while including the highest quality of raw material. This company uses in-depth scientific research and know-how, which is carried out by expert staff to manufacture its high-tech products. It has received its production licenses from the Ministry of Health and Medical Education and obtained international standardization certifications too. This means its products, while matching national standards, also adhere to international regulations, allowing them to easily compete in global markets. This company produces 20 different types of kits and a variety of diagnostic kits as well. The production facilities are capable of producing thousands of testing kits per week. There are numerous opportunities for investment in such a company, particularly as it is already standing on the threshold of exporting its products.
As you might know, medical testing kits are very sensitive items which need to be dependable and accurate. Their continuous accuracy is the most important aspect of their use. A lot of science and research goes into making these products, which are the tools doctors use to help patients. For this reason, quality assurance is key in being able to market these items.
The heart of this company is its highly equipped quality control division. Here, all products are tested for performance and accuracy in each stage of production. This includes testing the raw material used to make these kits. This department is essential for maintaining quality and manufacturing items with zero failure rates. But that's not all. The quality control unit is also home to the research and development department. One of the activities at this department is to reverse engineer certain items, such as kits used for the study of genetics, which are currently imported. One of the competitive advantages of this company is that it manufactures medical devices that were previously imported. Indigenizing these items has saved the medical sector millions of dollars from capital flight. Another advantage of this knowledge-based company is its link to the Islamic Azad University's Technology Development Center, meaning the research and development division of this company is able to directly benefit from scientific advancements and services provided by the academic institution. This company has faced numerous challenges over the years, but its trump card has always been its uniquely progressive approach to development. The US sanctions have marginally impacted businesses in this field by hampering international money transfers. This knowledge-based company views the sanctions as an opportunity to strengthen productions, filling the market void while reducing the country's dependence on imports.
Research driven by scientific inquiry plays a significant role in product development. At its core, advanced technology is created by adding valuable features to items that have specialized uses. Academic and research institutions are the bridge between ideas and marketable products, and several universities across Iran are providing services to help support knowledge-based startups.
The company we discussed earlier is an example of a knowledge-based company that was born from the support of a growth program at the Islamic Azad University. The program is called Roshd Center, and its main activity is to incubate startups and entrepreneurship. The center is a platform that supports the creation and developments of new businesses in the field of advanced technology development as they start up. It provides services to entrepreneurial teams to successfully implement their ideas and help them compete in national and global markets. These services include offering workspace facilities and managerial, technical, and legal consultations. Usually, startups are incubated at this center for around 3 to 5 years. These centers serve as a type of technical infrastructure and offer a framework for sustainable business growth. The incubators also pursue broader goals, such as regional economic growth, and diversify the economy and investors. It also provides assistance to women and society's minorities in their entrepreneurial endeavors. The advantage of a university incubator is its upfront link to live research and the most recent discoveries. It is a place where scientific advancement directly meets technology development. Azad universities have some 400 campuses nationwide and hundreds of thousands of students enrolling annually. Each campus is equipped with a Roshd Center. For example, the North Tehran unit has 22 projects currently incubating.
But universities aren't the only place where incubators are found. Science and technology parks are also another area that offer similar services to knowledge-based startup and technology-developing businesses. Many of their products are presently streamlined into the market and are also exported to destination markets abroad.
Tech parks are another place where advanced technology is developed for various industries. Based on figures from the Ministry of Research, Science and Technology, there are 42 tech parks and 186 incubators spread across the country. The number of knowledge-based companies has steadily increased over the years. If there were 50 high-tech firms in 2013, now there are 125 times more than that number in 2021. Right now, there are over 6,200 high-tech firms and knowledge-based companies nationwide. Many of these businesses are active in the field of information and communication technology, machinery equipment, and electronic products. Plus, a large number of the companies are actively producing medical devices and pharmaceuticals. Last year, tech and knowledge-based firms raked in over $5 billion in internal revenues. That's according to statistics from Iran's National Innovation Fund. The Science and Technology Office of the Vice Presidency estimates exports of these products will generate $1 billion in foreign revenues by the end of the year. High technology is a product of advancements in national academic and scientific research. And nearly 70,000 academic articles were published in 2020 alone to show for it. Data from the International Web of Science shows Iran was globally ranked as 16th in 2019 for its citation work. All things considered, Iran's tech ecosystem is flourishing. Several industries have benefited from indigenized technology that has facilitated big advancements productions.
Okay, it's time for me to take a short break and pass the action over to my good friend and colleague out there on the field. So, take it away.
A general classification divides enterprises into two distinct categories. The first is labor-intensive enterprises, and the second is knowledge-intensive enterprises. I'm sure that you're familiar with the former, but the latter is primarily concerned with problem-solving, research and development, creativity, and it heavily relies on intellectual skills. Where I'm standing right now is a hub for knowledge-intensive enterprises in Iran. Pardis Technology Park is home to more than 270 companies, including SMEs, small and medium-sized startups, and large companies. Some of them have already introduced valuable and essential products to the market, whereas the others are still in their burgeoning phases and are clawing their way up. And this place acts as an incubator for them. This tech park is one of the largest of its kind in the region and was built in an effort to reduce the cost of importing knowledge and provide professional support for creativity and innovation. And I'm going to tell you this, the result has been phenomenal. In this week's feature program, we're going to learn more about Pardis Technology Park.
Pardis Technology Park is located in an area measuring almost 60 hectares, which is expandable to 1,000 hectares and is situated 20 kilometers northeast of Tehran. It's under the auspices of the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology and a 14-entity board of trustees comprising of corporate and real bodies from ministries, science centers, and academies, headed by the first vice president of the country. Its objectives are many-fold, but they are all directed towards the growth and development of the economy of Iran. It's set to commercialize the research results and establish sustainable ties between universities and industries, creating synergy between private and state sectors, just to name a few.
When a group of people come to each other and meet each other and make a team, so they need some ambient to help them to grow. At the same time, they need some mentors, some financial aids, and so many things. They need to be a kind of environment to help them to grow. That's why this building and this park is also called a kind of growing system, growing ecosystem.
PTP is considered the most pioneering and advanced and largest technology park in Iran, and it's well distinguished by many reputed foreign and domestic organizations. The technology park has great potentials to turn into a major center for economic, research, and scientific activities. It also meets the requirements for linking to actual and potential global markets, and its wide-ranging activities have so far been successful.
This park is not limited to knowledge-intensive companies, but also houses and assists technology companies by definition. There are different buildings here, and in order to construct new buildings, some certain standards have to be met. There's a board of architectural design that observes and makes sure that each building has unique and creative architectural elements. This is done to make the park visually attractive. Different events are held annually at this place, during which new ideas that are worthy of being marketed, new findings of the research done by the companies that are based in this place, and also new products are presented.
We are manufacturing the anesthesia machine with ventilator, which has been created after 7 years of R&D in our company, and it's about 2 years we have provided this unit to the medical centers. Actually, this unit used to be imported from abroad, and by having our production in the medical centers, the hospitals, of course, we are fully providing this product and no need to import anymore.
I, for one, was amazed to learn how wide the scale of scientific and technological achievements of the park have been so far, and couldn't help but take pride in Iran's technological prowess. Let's meet another pioneer.
Yeah, this is called the knowledge-based company because we created a company called Ziztakhmir, which is a pioneer in probiotic industry in Iran. We make the initial effort around 20 years back in the University of Tehran. We established an R&D-based facility there, and after 5 years, we managed to establish a company and started to produce supplements, probiotic supplements, which were very new at that time.
Companies and their research and development centers should subscribe to one of the areas specified and supported by the park. These include, but are not limited to, telecommunication, biotechnology, nanotechnology, pharmaceutical materials, and more. Last year, according to reports, this park exported 50 of its products to 22 countries, and its export value amounted to 27 million euros. And so, Pardis Technology Park proved itself as an important asset to the country's economic apparatus, to help it fight the deleterious effects of draconian sanctions imposed on Iran.
PTP has its own rather unique way to acknowledge the contribution of international scientists who at some point have added something to the park, and that is sculpting their busts. These sculptures, which are spread across the park, give it a museum-like touch, and of course for visitors, it's both informative and entertaining. PTP appears to have been an interesting technology hub for people outside of Iran too. Many ambassadors, politicians, ministers, and scientific figures have visited PTP so far.
What you saw in this report was only a small part of the first phase of this large complex, which is called Innovation Paradise. There are going to be some other parts added to this large complex. The second phase is called Health Paradise, and the third phase is called Entrepreneurship Paradise. According to the expansion plan of the park, the complex will eventually measure up to 1,000 hectares, and that will make it the most important technology zone in West Asia. The contribution of these hubs to the overall economic growth of the country is an indicative of their importance in identifying and presenting the country's technological capabilities and, of course, in accelerating its growth. And maybe this large plane over there is a symbol of that. Well, that covers our program for today. Take care, everyone. I'm Samson Zees. See you in the next Bazaar.
Thank you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints. The birthday of Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, marks the greatest celebration in history, 2016. Imam Khamenei. The first thing that the Islamic Republic did was to capture the Zionist center in Tehran, which was in control of the previous regime, and to expel them from the country, and then it gave the center to Palestinians. This was a true and symbolic course of action, and we have been continuing this position till today. We supported Palestine, we helped the Palestinians, and we will continue to do so. We have no considerations on this matter. The entire world of Islam should help Palestine. In the statements of our late Imam, may God bestow paradise on him, and those of the officials of the Islamic Republic, the eradication of the Israeli government has been frequently repeated. However, the enemies distort this issue. The eradication of the Israeli government does not mean the eradication of the Jewish people. We have nothing to do with that. It means the eradication of that government and that imposed regime. Eradication of Israel means that it is the people of Palestine, the true owners of that land, whether Muslims, Christians, or Jews in that land, who should elect the main elements of their government. It means that they should throw out foreigners, thugs and criminals like Netanyahu and other such individuals who are real thugs, and they should run their own country. This is what the eradication of Israel means. And this will happen. Some people think it unlikely, asking how Palestine can become independent after the passage of 70 years. However, in the Balkans and in other countries, they became independent after 60, 70 years, during which time their country had been occupied by others. Their lands were given back to their people. So this is not unlikely. And this is not difficult for Allah the Almighty. The Holy Quran, chapter 14, verse 20, this will happen. We are the supporters of the Palestinians. We are advocates of the independence of Palestine. We are advocates of the salvation of Palestine. And we are not anti-Jewish people. In our own country, there are many Jews who live in complete security. This was another point.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners from around the world. You are tuning to Iran Radio. I'm here in the studio of Iran Radio in Tehran announcing our program schedule for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into the early hours of this morning. We start tonight's lineup with today's special daily mixed format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. Next up is Israel Watch. The program critically analyzes Zionist media reports about current events and issues in the West Asia region. They will be followed by Hadith of the Day. The program presents a hadith from the Holy Prophet and members of his household, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, along with a brief explanation and commentary on the hadith. And to round up this hour's programs, we have Let's Recite the Holy Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour. Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, we start this episode of today's special by the name of Allah Almighty. And then we say salam to all of you, dear brother and sister, dear listener of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So welcome and wait. We're going to speak about etiquette of lending money.